welcome back or welcome to the Jappy Jaws podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, the jappiest of some, if not of them all, Lindsay Moraskin, with episode 22 of the Jappy Jaws podcast. Happy Thirsty Thursday, everyone. I hope everyone's week has been going great for them so far and that you're preparing for the weekend. But guys, you know what time it is. I am now implementing each week with a new drinking game. So every time you hear me say a certain word, you are required to take a sip of your drink. Now, if you're over the age of 21, I suggest a nice cocktail, maybe some tequila on the rocks. If you're under the age of 21, grab a Capri Sun. If you're driving, if you're at the gym, coffee, water, an energy drink, whatever you got beside you. And every time for this week, you hear me or my guest say New York or New York City, take a sip. Or three, whatever you're feeling. So hope you guys enjoy that one and get a little tipsy or get a little hydrated off of New York, because let's be real, it's the greatest city in the world. I hope everybody's having a great week so far. You're all getting ready for the weekend. We are almost there, Jars. We're kicking it real quick. I am so excited for today's episode. We have so much to unpack. Before we get into it, I know this is going to be a little hefty. We got to have our one-on-one time, our me time, because, you know, I love talking to you guys, updating you, telling you guys some realizations, recapping on shit. So bear with me for a brief moment. First things first, spring is a coming, and I don't want people shitting on me and saying, Lindsay, you're gonna fucking jinx it. Listen here, Linda. Look outside. The weather is a lot nicer now. We are getting into, you know, the gist of spring. The snow is melted by me. I don't know about anywhere else. I feel like with spring approaching, because the sun's definitely been out a lot longer now than it was beforehand, I feel like with spring coming, there's always that weird transition phase where the days are either really long or they're really short. And I don't know if this is just me, but I feel like I'm never getting more of a consistent routine. I don't know. It's like a hard mix for me to deal with. So I think it's an interesting concept, but get ready. Summer's almost here. I think I saw like a tweet that it's 15 Mondays or some shit like that. I could be wrong. My math is definitely off. I'm not a mathematician. Guess what? We are getting in the groove. No more in the house depression. We'll be able to do so much more, and I'm so fucking excited. We are going to have a hot girl summer, Jars, and don't you fucking forget it. I also want to say, and I want to give credit where credit's due, I have been on a kick with waking up early. Now, if you know me, and I think my poor roommate could really attest to this, and my dad, I cannot get up for the life of me for anything. For shit. There could be a fire. Actually, no, I'd probably wake up to that. There could be something so like loud and tedious going on around me when I'm in bed in my room, and I wouldn't hear shit. There was a hurricane, I forget how long ago, and there was a huge tree on my block that everybody, like, we all took our first day of school picture there because that was the bus stop. That tree literally fell, not on a house, in the street, and I didn't hear that, and it literally woke up the entire neighborhood. No matter how many alarms I will set, I will still find a way to go back to sleep. Recently, what I've been doing after I finish up, like, my phone for the night and looking at whatever I need to look at, I have been putting my phone and plugging it in on the other side of my room, so then when my alarm goes off, I have to physically get out of bed to, you know, put my alarm to snooze. And in college, I used to just put so many alarms on, and my roommate literally wanted to kill me. And I would have my dad call me a lot. But nowadays, I keep my phone on do not disturb because I just cannot be bothered. And if I want to talk to you, like, I'm obviously going to talk to you. But I don't have my dad call me anymore. My grandma sometimes will walk by my room and knock and be like, Linz, are you up? And I'm like, yes, Mildred, thank you. I've been trying to do better. And don't get me wrong, I still go back to bed for a little bit because I do set it a lot earlier than I need to actually get up, because I know it takes like a village to get me out of bed. Victoria Bruno told me that, like, you know, getting into the routine of waking up earlier, getting a lot more things done earlier in the day will make you feel so much more recharged at night. And it really has been helping. So that's how I've been doing with my morning grind. I've also still been grinding with no sweets. Like I said, I made it through the entire month of February with not a single treat except for on my dad's birthday. But also, February is a shorter month, so you can't really give that much credit to it. But I went the entire month with no chocolate, no cookies, no cookie dough, literally nothing. And then I made a vow to my good friend Victoria Bruno from the Moral Hangover podcast that I just mentioned that I would join her in giving up sweets because she gave that up for Lent. And she literally texted me, I think it was Saturday. She's like, so you're still like not gonna do sweets with me, right? I'm like, yep, you got it, sister. So I'm happy that she's also holding me accountable, because all of you did a great job. And don't get me wrong, I'm gonna be good this time, but you know, having that little added pressure that like I have a responsibility as a friend to obtain this, what's the word I'm looking for? This duty, I guess, to do this with her, even though I don't have to. But I'm also kind of loving it so far. Another thing I wanted to mention. This past weekend, my sister and I went fully all out on a self-care weekend. And honestly, we needed it. We've been cooped up in our house for so long. We haven't really done much because of winter time. In the summer, we were doing a lot more because things were outside and everything. But right now, with where the pandemic is at, we are just not that comfortable doing certain things, which is okay. And I'm not shitting on anyone else if they're feeling comfortable doing other things. That's just not our vibe right now. We took ourselves on a nice little self-care weekend. We haven't gotten our nails done in a year because of the pandemic. We were really nervous at first. We've literally not been doing much. And this weekend we were like, you know what? Fuck it. And guys, cause I was feeling frisky, I got acrylic nails for the first time since my bat mitzvah in June of 2011. And let me tell you, as cute as they are and how interesting it is to see my nails be like long, cause I've always preferred them to be a little shorter, it was a weird adjustment. Like pulling up my pants became a lot more difficult. Typing and editing on my computer was difficult. All right, nobody make fun. Picking your nose is just not a thing, okay? We all fucking do it. We do it in the privacy of our own home. I wash my hands after. Don't come at me. But picking your nose with your nails, it just doesn't happen. So I don't know if it's because I'm not used to it yet or because, like, I'm just not able to function. If anybody does have the fake nails and is about that, what are your tips or some tricks to, you know, kind of, like, feeling more comfortable with it? Because I find myself tensing up when I'm typing or something. I don't know. I gotta figure something out, I guess. And honestly, I'm so happy I had this nice little self-care day because it honestly prepared me for this week, because I feel like I've been going a million miles a minute, and it truly prepared me for Monday night's episode of The Bachelor Women Tell All. Now, first and foremost, I think everybody is just kind of over the franchise. They're just waiting for the season to end because of everything that's gone on, which, fair enough, I understand that. That makes sense. However, we still don't know if there's going to be a future Bachelorette. We don't know who is going to Paradise or if Paradise is even happening, and I think everybody just needs a little long break. Some people are pushing for it. As much as I want it, I wouldn't be as upset if it didn't happen. Myself, care day prepared me for the monstrosity of what the Women Tell All was. And I'm not saying it was a monstrosity in a way that it was a lot to handle, because it really wasn't. I honestly found it quite boring. I didn't think it was as juicy and great as everyone had thought or had hoped it to be. I think Queen fucking Victoria made herself look stupid yet again. However, she didn't talk that much, and I feel like there wasn't that much of her saying and doing, which I was happy about. Serena C didn't speak a word. I thought what happened with Anna and Brittany, like, that could have been done so much better and so much more early on when the damage is already done. I felt so bad for Brittany, and you could totally tell how badly affected she was by this little itty bitty made up rumor that Anna made about her. Fucking bullshit. The highlight, honestly, was the bloopers, which I'll get into in a little bit. Chris Harrison and Abigail talking. I just think Abigail is so pure, and I love that she made the message of feeling so much more beautiful and having the support being a woman in the deaf community, and also explaining how she's not deaf with a capital D, because a lot of people tend to get that confused. And I think that's something that not a lot of TV shows, not a lot of reality shows, of course, or the media in general kind of emphasizes. So I really gave her a lot more credit for sharing her story more so in depth and really going into detail. I think she's just an amazing person, and I wish her all the best. And if she goes to Paradise, that would be incredible, but she is worth a man that is going to take care of her and respect her and love her and appreciate her all in all. I also didn't appreciate Katie getting attacked the way that she did. Like, all the girls were emphasizing her being such a mean girl, such a shit stir, because she kept bringing up all these issues that they all had. Well, then again, that's what was being shown on TV, and clearly all this other shit happened, but also, like, why would you want to live in an environment where you didn't feel safe or valued? Did not love that little attack that she got, I guess, from some. I also think when Matt finally did come out and speak to all the women, he was definitely prepared by someone else, and he wasn't prepared himself to deal with the emotions and what was going on with those women. I think he held himself together well, but it was so much more of a script and orchestrated in a way where I just didn't feel like it was genuine. So many people that I was talking to just literally turned it off at some point because they were fucking over it. Also, apparently Heather was there and she was sitting next to Kit, and they legit just, like, cut her out the entire time. There was, like, a little moment where someone, I saw a tweet or a meme on Instagram where they got the back of her. First of all, there was no reason for her to even come there. And if she was going to come, you might as well have her brought out, sit on the couch, and then go backstage. That just didn't make any sense to me. So you wasted her time. Obviously, we don't get to see the entire thing because it is edited. However, I don't know. I didn't like that. And honestly, because I don't want to talk about this much further, I thought it was so fucking bogus that we missed out on such amazing parts of dates and connections because of all this fucking drama that we experienced this season. The little bloopers and the behind the scenes actions of the little dates, like the one that he had with Ben Higgins and the pancakes, I was like, this is quality gold. Why didn't we watch this? I wish this was here when we were watching the actual season. I wanted to see how that shit played out. When Kit got lost in the woods, that is comedic and television gold. Why wouldn't you want to share that? Like, there was just so much more being brought to our television screens that honestly I could live without. And then my favorite part of the night, I think, was the bloopers. When it was Matt and Serena in the hot tub on their first one-on-one, and they zoomed in on Serena's butt and like was just looking at that. I was like, okay. And you see Matt kind of like staring at it. And then all of a sudden, when he's about to get out, he's like, I'm not gonna lie, I need a robe. Like the subtle boner joke, ABC. Okay, I see you, pop off. Like I did not think that was going to happen, but I'm glad that it did. Other than that, I was disappointed. It was a letdown, the entire Woman Tell All. You didn't miss much by not watching it. Honestly, I think just the truth is in the pudding. Is that the saying? For when the finale comes in the next week or so. So stay tuned for that, how I feel and what is going to go down. I think it's going to be an interesting ride, let me tell you. On to bigger and better things. Today, I'm so excited for you guys to listen to my interview with the one and only Carrie Bradshaw in the making, Sarah Hodgkins. She is a lifestyle guru, NYC guru on TikTok. That is how I found her. She is so amazing. Her content is truly unbelievable, and her hustle. Being only a junior in college, she has literally achieved and done so much, and she gives such great insight on things to do in New York City, things not to do in New York City, lifestyle tips, restaurant reviews, dating advice, especially in the city, and while being a college student, so as well as some school advice for those of you that might be considering going to school in the Big Apple, or even in any city for that matter. I hope you all enjoy what she has to say, and without further ado, here she is.
So I think I might have found the modern day Carrie Bradshaw, because not only is she the New York City queen of TikTok, in my opinion at least, but her personality just radiates Carrie Bradshaw, Sarah Jessica Parker vibes. I am here with the lovely Sarah Hodgson. Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you so much for having me. I love the podcast, and when you reached out, I was like, oh my God. Like,
stop it. You're making me blush.
No, I was, oh my God. I felt like so flattered.
No, stop. So I absolutely have loved your TikTok since I'm late on the TikTok game, and everybody knows this. I was refusing for the longest time to download TikTok. Okay. And when I finally downloaded it, it was like when you pick out your interests and like what you like. So obviously I put down city stuff, and all of a sudden you popped up on my page. And I was like, oh, like this is cute. And then I just kept scrolling and scrolling on her feed, and she literally gives you everything and anything you could ever imagine when it comes to New York City. And she's not even from New York. So I'm like, what the hell? Like, how did she even get to do this all in one shot? So I was like, I have to talk to you.
That's awesome. Yeah, for sure. I was so late to the TikTok game too. I love
it. Were you?
As much as I love it now, I was one of those people, like those wannabe millennials, because I'm not a millennial. So I was one of those people who was like, no, this is for children who want to do like POVs of like Harry Styles. Like, this is not for me. And then I downloaded it and I was like, this is actually kind of fun.
I like hate that I shat on it for so long. And then I was just like, you know what? I was wrong. I'll take full blame for it. Do I love watching the TikTokers? I'm obsessed with This White House. Don't ask me why. It's because like the guy personality is like my type to a T. So I think that's why I actually enjoy watching their TikToks and watching their YouTube videos. But TikTok is just so smart to begin with. And it's led you to people like yourself who are essentially gurus, everything that you could ever imagine. So I apologize thoroughly to TikTok. And I'm sure you could probably say the same.
For sure. I love it now. I don't share your appreciation for the, what's it? The house?
The sweat house.
Yeah, I don't share that same appreciation. But I do have a certain amount of respect for the dancers though.
Yes, like, absolutely.
They're crazy. I try to do a dance like in my early TikTok days when I literally had like 40 followers. Uh-huh. I was doing one of those little like renegade dances. The first comment I got, I remember, I'll never forget it. I like swore off TikTok for a while. Someone commented, and of course it was like some 12-year-old boy.
Hate
they
that.
Like swiped up and they were like, no. Just know, this is an embarrassment. Deleted my TikTok, deleted everything.
Rude.
Yeah, it like really affected me. And I was like, shit, if I got one mean comment, like how am I supposed to make an account? But then once I actually started talking about things that I'm passionate about, it's easy to get hate and I don't even.
Absolutely. Well, I hope that 12-year-old boy doesn't come to New York City anytime soon, because he should not refer to your page if he thinks it's no, just no. That's rude. I hope he learned his lesson. How about that?
Exactly.
But give everybody some basic groundwork about you, where you're from. from, what you do, where you go to school, and what you're studying.
So where I'm from is always like the most complicated question literally ever, because my dad was in the military. I always usually tell people I'm from Philly, and you can usually hear it, my accent, things like that, because that's where I went to high school. But I was born in Norfolk, Virginia. And since my dad was in the Navy, we traveled to several places like Monterey, California. We lived in Mons, Belgium, which is like the biggest
wow
I could possibly have ever, because then people are always like, oh my God, it's in France, right? And I'm like, no, but it's a 20-minute ride from Paris. And everyone was like, what? Yeah. And then I also lived in Virginia again after that. And Philadelphia, of course, is like the place that I've lived the longest. So I usually just claim that for sure.
Oh, I love that. And then what do you do? So people obviously know I found you on TikTok, but if you could explain it in depth of exactly what your content creation life has been like.
For sure. It all started super late in like, mm-hmm. as we just talked about, like in March of 2020. And I just started doing it for fun. I like made an account, made a video, hated it, deleted it. And like, it was just a constant cycle, because that's who I am. Like, I love to create. I've always loved to create and storytell. If it wasn't for TikTok, like right now, I'd probably be in like a public relations internship, or I'd be doing marketing, which I am kind of doing too. Like, aside from TikTok, I manage social media for a lot of companies and brands and individuals. I also write, I edit. I'm a jack of all trades for sure.
She does it all.
Yeah. I don't know. Content creation has always just been like my thing. If it was in high school, it was on a stage. Now it's in college and it's on TikTok. And I hated TikTok for a while, but now like it's my ish. I feel like it's the like least taken seriously platform. But to me, honestly, it's just so freaking fun. Like, I just love doing it. I love putting out information. And I think the reason why I know a lot of the information that I do, even though I've only lived in New York City for like 3 or 4 years, is just because like I'm an extrovert to the utter extreme. Like, do you know the personality test that you take, where ESFJ?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that E for me, that big old E that stands for extrovert, I got it like 98%, which is like extraordinarily scarily
yep
high. That mm-hmm usually means people are annoying. And I'm a Leo too. So on top of all of it, it's
love
crazy
that. I'm yeah a rising Leo. I totally feel that 100%. You also are a college student. So do you want to say where you go to college and what you are studying right now?
For sure. So I'm a student at New York University. I am studying media, culture, and communications. And within that major, and this is very, very important, within that major, there are two tracks you have to choose. And of those, I'm choosing politics and entertainment. I
love
a
that
huge politics person. Half my classes are like political communication, political rhetoric, politics. So I love that. And obviously the entertainment business, because hello.
Entertainment. I mean, we all love, we live it and learn it, basically. I mean, look at TikTok. That's exactly what entertainment is.
Exactly. New York University is probably like, if there was any major, any school anywhere that could prepare me for like making videos, it would literally be New York University, because like I'm taking this class right now, for example, called Media Audiences, and like mm-hmm it's all about the audience's perspective and like how they view media applications like TikTok. We just talked about TikTok the other day. Like, someone in my class was like, don't you have a TikTok? And I was like, please don't bring that up in my college class.
I was actually going to ask you, because since you are a college student and you are very active on TikTok, you are always spewing content up the wazoo, which is amazing. And sometimes I feel like for some people, it's hard to kind of keep that balance with what they're doing. Like you just said, your classes are kind of preparing you to take on those roles and to kind of, you know, run with that. So how do you balance it all and figure out what to really implement from what you've learned in those classes and take the time to make what you want to make?
My biggest thing is like, especially for my major in particular, it is what you make it. I thought that when I first started like taking media, culture, and communications classes, which is such a mouthful, so usually I just say communications, I started thinking like public relations, branding, marketing, advertising, like going down kind of that, or like even broadcast journalism and writing slash editing. Like, that's where I was trying to go with my career. And then once I started actually making content again and like being a social media creative, that it made me look at my classes different, you know? So it's kind of like, it doesn't even matter what kind of classes you take. If they're your core classes for your major, like they will prepare you for whatever you want to do. You just have to look at it in a certain lens. Because at New York University, what I love most about the school is like, they give you so much creative freedom. Like, they let you write about anything, because usually a lot of my classes are writing based or project based. Like, they let you literally do anything. So what I do for my projects and my essays is I try to incorporate as much as I can like my personal life in order to better research that and prepare for that, rather than just talk about something I think my professor is going to want to hear, you know?
You're taking your own kind of rein to it and being able to kind of use your creative freedom. That's not only benefiting you in school, but it's benefiting you in your personal life, like you just said.
Exactly. And in terms of like time management and stuff like that, when you really love something, mm-hmm. you will find the time. You know what I mean? Like, I
absolutely
love staying staying up from like 7:30 a.m. to like 1 a.m. You know what I mean? Like making content, if that's all I had to do. Unfortunately, I still have like my, like I'm a writer and an editor. I'm also a podcast co-host and I'm a full-time student. So I have all these other responsibilities that I have to do. Otherwise, I'd be posting content like every single hour just because it's like something I just absolutely adore doing. And talking, obviously, hence the podcast.
Oh, absolutely.
But honestly, prioritization is so huge for me. For school in particular, I always try to get my schoolwork done first just because that can be tedious or boring. And I just make like this whole list. I'm a huge like physical write things down desk in New York City. It's just all post-it notes all over my mirror. There's a method to my madness. If you saw it, okay, you'd literally get scared and scream and run away. But like, I know what's going on and that's all that matters. And
it's your mess.
Exactly. It's my, I own the mess and I take charge of the mess and I get everything done and I get paid at the end. So.
And you got to do and hustle the way you hustle and what's going to work for you best other than what someone else or like someone else could guide you with. You could take advice from someone on how to be organized, how to better prioritize yourself, how to better do this and that. But at the end of the day, like it could help you, but you're also got to find it. It's trial and error. I am such a huge person that is like, you have to try it out and then that's how you figure it out because you can't just expect it to work the first time come around and expect something to just like snap of a finger be okay. You have to try, and if it's making that mess and figuring out how to navigate it for yourself, that is the best way you are going to do it.
Exactly. And especially with TikTok, I feel like the algorithm works a certain way where like if you put, just going to exactly like what you just said, pointing to that, like the first like 15 videos you post, you're probably not going to get like a million views on one of them. You know what I mean? Or like,
oh, trust me, I know.
Like, and it just sucks because you put like all this effort into something that you think is amazing and you think people are going to love and view and like so many people are gonna see it, and then it gets 5 views or even like 13 and you're like, what? I know that was me at first. Like I started making content and I was like, literally, what is going on? Like no one's gonna like me, blah blah blah. But you do have to persist, keep trying out new things, keep trying out new methods and new ways to capture your audience. It literally will happen. The TikTok algorithm works in that way.
I wish there was a handbook, okay? I wish there was a handbook of how to TikTok sometimes, because I will make like 13 videos at a time and think of all these ideas. I have a notepad thing in my notes section of my phone of little ideas because I'm like, okay, do I stay on trend? Do I stay not on trend? And I always ask people that are big on TikTok these questions, like what do they do and how do they get like lucky per se? And I'm just like, I just have to continue to be patient. But I think what you said perfectly is like the algorithm is meant to be something that you have to figure out for your own self, because that's how it's going to get on someone else's page, like how you came on my page.
For sure. That's I'm literally honored. I totally agree. I think a lot of it for sure, like that I tell people is like, you just honestly have to be consistent, like whether that means for anybody, like posting once a day, posting 3 times a day. But then, and this is so confusing, I see people on TikTok with literally 3 million followers and they only post like once a month, and I'm like, okay, either you were famous before this or you just genuinely got lucky.
Exactly. Like I'm just here thinking to myself, like, okay, like Charli D'Amelio, for example, super talented, but she used to be more consistent than she is. Granted, she has a lot going on, she is doing so many other brand deals, going on podcast shows and everything, but it's because she like started out being consistent that she got to where she wants to be. And I think that's the light at the end of the tunnel for hopeless TikTok creators like myself to get to that little, I have 115 followers right now. When I get to my 115K or 115 million, then I'll remember me saying that. Like some days I'm like, I'm so funny. Like, why isn't this popping off like it should be? And like, I know that sounds selfish, but I'm like, I put so much work into it. But I'm just like, you know what? It's just another way of humbling myself and staying with the hustle, because even if that one video did pop off, doesn't mean that all of them are going to pop off.
For sure. I totally understand where you're coming from. And another thing that like sucks about being, as much as like I love it, clearly I'm loving it this entire episode so far, like I'm obsessed with TikTok and I love creating content, but I think like one of my least favorite things about it for sure is that like you have to constantly think about what your audience wants. It's never like posting stuff that you love is obviously a necessity, and posting stuff that you're passionate about, but whether it's like the structure of your video or like exactly what you say, like the way you say it, you know, I think that it's not just the context, it's like about like the delivery. And I think that that's so important. But it also sucks because like if one thing goes wrong, or like if the 5 people who first see it don't like it, then it just all gets lost in translation. You know
absolutely
what I mean?
And I think that goes for podcasting too. I have been such a preacher since day one, and we'll talk about this about your podcast soon, is like I love talking, point blank period. I could go on for hours, talk to a brick wall, make it my best friend.
Yeah.
And The thing is, when I'm thinking of topics or thinking of people that I want to interview and talk to, I also have to think of my audience. I have to think of, okay, even though it's a topic I love talking about or that someone else is passionate about, doesn't mean like 2-3 people that are my listeners that are consistent are going to love it as well. You know what I'm saying? Like I could talk about, like we were talking before we started recording, Broadway. I love Broadway. I was a theater geek in high school, whatever. Sarah here was also a fellow theater nerd. As much as we love it, not everybody understands and appreciates theater the way like someone like you and I would. So I have to kind of, you know, navigate and tear those walls down. I love doing polls on my Instagram stories because that gives me like the most, you know, like food for thought where I get myself thinking and going with everything. And I'm sure you see so many different ideas on your podcast from your listeners and on your comments and your TikToks, what your fans want.
For sure. And also polls are so interactive and nice. Yes. Like to build up your Instagram. People love that. And it's not like, I don't mean to come off as like, it makes them seem like you want to hear their opinion. It's like, it reassures them that you need and like have to hear their opinion. Like you love hearing their opinion because like if it wasn't for the people who watch and listen and support you every day, especially like your loyal fan base, which is basically the only people who you have to pertain to, it just wouldn't happen. It would never happen. Absolutely. For anybody. So
it's a good way of thinking about it. Now with your TikToks, like I said before, you are like the New York City go-to girl when it comes to trends, when it comes to jobs, when it comes to bars, dating, you name it, you literally have everything for it. How did that start considering you've only been in the city for what, 2.5-3 years?
Yeah, exactly. It started the very first day that I got there because a lot of people say that your first year in New York City make or breaks you. Uh-huh. That's what I was most terrified of. Goes along with the whole like that fear that anyone has going into college. Like, what if I hate it and I have to transfer and start all over again? Like, that's so mm-hmm. scary. And I know you can perfectly relate to that. In New York City, I kind of felt an elevated sense of fear for sure because New York City, I thought, was going to be so intimidating. I kept hearing from people because I did so much research before going to NYU, like anybody with like even the slightest of anxiety does about college, because who doesn't? And yeah, I was literally being told by everybody that like it is so overwhelming, people usually hate it and transfer. And like, I'm sure that's not all I was being told, but that's all I was hearing because I was so nervous. And then I actually got there, spent a day making friends and being so scared and like being like that little like, hi, I'm Sarah, what's your name? I kind of felt like I was in kindergarten again. You'd think I'd be used to it by now because I used to travel so much because of my dad, but like going into college, I felt it was this whole new world, and it truly was. And the second day I was there, like genuinely not even 24 hours after I got there, I was at a pre-Fashion Week event. It was crazy. I don't even know how it happened. I just started
a little Carrie Bradshaw moment.
Literally, I did feel like I was in Sex and the City, but like 10 times better, because like I met so many celebrities like in that first week, minor influencers and things like that. And I was like, I kind of want to be you. So I think it was being surrounded by like so many influential people. As soon as I got there, it not only gave me confidence to be like, I got myself in this position, to this party, to this event, to this gala, to this like fashion show, like I can do it again. I can keep making these connections on my own. And it also gave me role models because I kept seeing people like that. And I'm like, I want to be you.
Like it put things, because sometimes like, I don't know if this is just a me thing, but I know when I meet someone or I'm looking at someone's page and I am influenced or I'm inspired by what they do, you kind of create that mental picture in your head of like, okay, this person did it this way. How can I make it my own way of doing it so I can be somewhat similar and do that for someone else that looks up to me way in the future? Because you're kind of like, you're building yourself as you grow up and as you're in your 20s. And no offense to any high schooler, but like you are not prepared for college and you are not prepared for the culture shock that comes with it. Whether you're going into a campus school, a city campus school, no one really ever prepares you for what you're about to endure. And I think that's like a big growing up and coming of age moment, like you said, when you're day two at a fashion show event, doing this, doing that, having all these different opportunities. And it's what you make of it, because you're going to be the only person that's going to psych yourself out. And what I love what you said is like, you are in this mentality of, oh my God, there's so much pressure of like making it or breaking it, but you're going to take it and run and figure it out on your own.
Absolutely. After that first week of just kind of dipping my toe in the water and like embracing that culture shock, I just constantly went out all the time to events, to restaurants. And did my schoolwork suffer? Maybe a little.
At least you're honest.
Exactly. But at the same time, like just what we were talking about earlier, you have to try everything in order to see like what works for you. It is all about personalization. You just have to figure it out yourself. And I did. And like me going out to restaurants and like events and parties all of the time and like clubs even, like me doing that all in like the first few months of me being there made me realize this is fun and this isn't something I want to stop doing, but it's something that I have to lessen just to like truly enjoy my friends and like spend a little more time down to earth, because New York City can get so exciting. It can swallow you up if you're not careful.
So like you said, you went to all these different events. You tried everything out, maybe once, twice, three times, who knows? knows? It's all up to what you're comfortable with, what you want to do, and what makes you happy at the end of the day. How did you kind of like navigate and figure out when you make a TikTok, especially because you'll be like, oh, top five restaurants, top five brunch places, top five outfits. How did you figure out how to narrow down which goes to which you didn't love, which you didn't like, which you did love and like?
I think a lot of it is just which ones I repetitively keep on going back to. I'm going to be honest, it's a lot of the reliability. It's a lot of like, this is a solid restaurant, because sometimes you do go to those restaurants or establishments or these eateries and you're like, I've never been here before. How? Like, this is probably the most amazing thing I've ever put in my mouth. There are some that I like kind of went to as a New York newbie and I loved it and I just like keep going back. And then after I keep going back, my social media seems to kind of like follow me. Like, I start to see them on Eventbrite's Instagram page. I start to see them on like New York bucket list, VIP list, like all of these accounts. And I'm like, I knew it was a solid. And I'm like proud of myself for even going and consistently going all these years. So that's kind of how I narrow it down, just because every single time I go, and like some of the restaurants that I go to a lot, literally 70 times. So it's like every single time that I go, it's perfect.
And it's bigger and better.
Exactly.
I feel like you can almost compare that to being like a big fan of an artist, the Jonas Brothers or Miley Cyrus, even starting from the beginning. It's all about seeing where that restaurant or that trend grows from that I think makes more of a difference and makes you, like you said, want to keep going back, like how you keep listening to the same artist because you've been with them on that journey. And I think it's also unique, especially in New York, that restaurants are always so willing to try new things. And I think that's why people like you like going back to these places 70 different times, because they're always keeping you on your toes.
Exactly. And like a lot of, and obviously new restaurants haven't been opening up because of COVID, but like I always get so sketched when I see like this new establishment or maybe like this new like interactive, creative, experimental restaurant open up, like a light show, like anything, literally anything. I always get a little sketched out because number one, I'm like, why are you choosing to open now in the middle of a pandemic? Like, that kind of like makes me like, what are you doing? And like props to you if you do it and it's good and you survive. But a lot of like the restaurant industry in New York City is so tough and so competitive that if at the same restaurant stays open for like 20 straight years, it's probably the best thing ever. And
absolutely,
Sex and the City is a perfect example of that. Like some of the Sex and the City restaurants, like Cafeteria, Veselka, like all of these restaurants, they're all so amazing. They're all like my go-to restaurants, probably because I heard about it in a TV show. I went, a TV show in the 1990s.
Especially.
And I go now in 2018, 19, and I'm like, oh,
this
yeah,
is it.
This is why it stayed open for so long.
Like you said, it's all about like longevity. So I guess my next question is, do you think that some places, whether that be a restaurant or a museum even, or just like any type of outdoor scene, I guess, because of the COVID issue that we're dealing with, especially being in the city, do you think that some places have gotten even better with what they produce?
Oh my God, yes. I think that the outdoor dining scene, especially like the private cabins, the rooftops, like Pier 17, for example, or like Watermark or Sandbar or Savannah, places like that, they really took it and ran with it. The only reason I've never even heard of like Savannah Rooftop or like the Watermark Winter Wonderland, heard of it before COVID, because they pushed all of this advertising for their cabins. And same with like La Lanterna's doing that. So now it's a lot of like street cabins. It's really awesome. But like, it's a new form of advertising now. And it's just something different that like, maybe if the food wasn't that good or like the drinks weren't the best, or if they weren't getting a lot of like customer flow because of COVID in general, like that is another thing that they can push. It's been really great, especially now that indoor dining's opening back up. These places have been gaining a lot of popularity since then, which is like awesome. So they don't go out of business because they're so great.
Do you think there have been any places that you weren't the biggest fan of before COVID that kind of revamped their style, their menu, their, I guess, experience of going there that you now are like, oh my God, I actually do really enjoy this place?
For sure. I thought, I don't know if you remember this, but like this summer, I know, like I mentioned earlier, Pier 17 doing this whole thing about like their cabanas and private little like lawns. And I thought it was cute, but I was hearing like so many reviews of this place being like, oh my God, it's so overpriced. Good thing about it is the seating, stuff like that. But then again, like when it started getting colder, restaurants were scrambling because they were like, we have no idea what we're going to do. We're going to close. What's going to happen? Then Pier 17 got their little indoor cabins. And it is literally like you step into like a lumberjack paradise. There's a Yule log fire. There's really experimental cool lighting, contact-free service. And I just think like the way that that restaurant in particular really did their thing. And like even like is the food expensive? Yes, it is. But now do they sell more like hot toddies and grilled cheese? And they're all adapting so, so well, especially Pier 17 to the situation that we're in. And even though I think the food can be pricey sometimes, not just Pier 17, but with so many other rooftop
anywhere
bars,
in the city.
Every single rooftop bar in New York City, I have mad respect. They seriously, seriously did that.
I think what the best thing about the city is that there's so many broad options, like you said, and it's not just Pier 17 that's doing that. It's so many other places. So you get to, and this helps you with your TikToks, I'm sure, comparing and contrasting. Oh, I need to go here for an indoor dining experience that's going to make me feel safe and that's good, or here for an outdoor experience that's also going to do the same thing and benefit me in a greater way. And I think it's a good comparing contrasting thing, because you're like, okay, this is what I want to steer my audience more towards, and this is what I don't want to steer my audience more towards.
Exactly. A lot of these places too are using the pandemic as kind of their selling point. Like I know 48 Lounge, for example, it's in Midtown. Their whole shtick is that they're bringing back club life and nightlife, but you cannot leave your table without a mask. You have to stay within your table unless you're like you're going to the bathroom or going to find your waiter or something. But it is a club and there is a DJ. There are a lot of lights and like discos, and it's very like Euphoria-like kind of. In that sense. But there are dividers, the waiters wear gloves, and they sell their lounge, because it's like a lounge now rather than a club.
Yeah.
They sell their tickets and their reservations based off of, we are the only COVID safe lounge in New York City, which I'm sure they're not. Like, I mean, there are obviously so many other ones out there.
So how often would you say you go out on the weekends during the week? Like, how do you balance that with being a student and also being able to experience all these fun new things for your TikToks and for yourself, of course?
So I go out probably, I remember I was talking to you just now about like my shtick freshman year, where I would go out every single day for like 3 months straight, and I was kind of like trying to balance it out. I'm doing the same thing again, but for a very different reason. But now I actually have an excuse, because they're for sponsorships for my TikTok. Sometimes I'll have these restaurants reach out to me, or I'll reach out to these restaurants being like, I would love to try your food in exchange for like a 60-second TikTok. And they'll reach out and say, hey, we love your content. Can you please come in? Like, we'd love for you to try this like chef's tasting menu or this TikTok influencer menu, and you can make a video about us if that sounds like something you'd be interested in. The way that that's going, because not only am I reaching out to people, now I'm getting a lot more requests since I started making videos about it. It's almost every day, and it's so fun, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Just but like it's probably every day, to answer your question, for sure.
No, I love that. Do you ever get overwhelmed with it though? Because I feel like I remember pre-COVID that, I know for me personally, for my friends, for other listeners of mine, everyone gets overwhelmed so quickly, no matter where you go to school or no matter where your job is. Everybody gets so overwhelmed and kind of creates like this anxiety that they don't have enough time to do things, whether or not that's just like life in general or because they're on a time crunch with something that they're doing for school or work. Do you ever feel overwhelmed that like you feel like you need to do all this content and need to go out all the time and do all those things, that you don't have that minute, hour to yourself, that you're just like, okay, I need a breather? Like, how do you figure out a way to, you know, kind of center yourself and get yourself in a good, clean headspace?
For sure. I cannot help but feeling overwhelmed sometimes. Everybody feels anxious and has social anxiety and just like feels like, oh my God, I'm doing literally every single thing on this planet. I can't do it. I'm going to take a nap. You know? And I think like, the way that I try to handle this is, number one, prioritization, which we were talking about before. And number two, having a supportive group of people. Because a lot of people are like, oh my God, how do you manage like school and going out? Like, and having a social life and TikTok. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, honestly, I combine a lot of it. Like, a lot of the stuff that I have to do for TikTok, I'd be doing anyways, just going out with my friends. And also like the same thing, like I write for a magazine. A lot of the stuff that I write about is like the New York City scene. So if I go out to this restaurant, I can at the same time film it for my TikTok, take my friends with me and have fun with them and like make sure we're still connecting, and also write an article about it, you know?
Best of both worlds.
Yeah, exactly. So I think a lot of it is like just making sure that all of my professions and like all of my jobs right now are kind of overlapping, just because if they didn't, I honestly would not have enough time in the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And also I think a lot of it is like just making sure that school takes priority, just because like I'm in New York City to study and explore the city. But like, as long as I think I keep that, NYU keeps me grounded. As long as I keep that base work and that frame of how I do and how I go about my day, it all works out, honestly, because the rest of it's just fun. It's every single job that I have is just fun for me. So as long as I prioritize my schoolwork, it's okay.
And I like that you say that NYU is your home base, because a lot of other people get, like you said, mixed in the wrong thing, and they get all excited and into that, I guess, routine of it being so fun that they get swallowed into it. But having that home base and having that kind of reality check, like, okay, the only reason I am here is because I go to school here. And like, it's terrible to think of it that way, but it's a good way to kind of be like, okay, this is why I'm here. I have everything else lined up, and like, that is for me to enjoy on my own time and figure out, but this is where I need to be at all times, and I can kind of navigate my way through there.
Exactly.
So you also, aside from being such an NYC guru and a student and writing for a magazine, doing all these amazing things, you are also a podcast host.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is your podcast called? How did you come up with the name? Because I think it's hysterical. And do you guys realize that you are the new Sex and the City in the making, the four of you?
We love to think of ourselves very much flattering ourselves when we feel good. Love to call ourselves like the diverse Sex and the City. That's what we have on Instagram. That was our selling point when we first started. The way our name came to be was actually we were sitting down at this restaurant called Vapiano's. I don't know if you're familiar. And we were all just sitting there talking, and Sydney actually came up with it because we were all talking about, like, at that same day, I believe, all six of us at the time had been out crying on the streets of New York, whether it was about school or a breakup. Like, we were all like, did we all cry in public today? And one of the co-hosts right now, Sydney, she goes, I mean, you know what? I think we did. And I think, honestly, we all cry in public. You know what would be hilarious? If we all just started talking about crying in public all the time and just put it out there on the internet. And all of us were like, no, why would we do that? That is literally so embarrassing. Like, we have such embarrassing stories. Half the shit we cry about isn't even stuff that anybody should be crying about. Like, what are you even talking about? And then we thought about it and we kept going on our dinner discussion. And then, like, at the end of dinner, Sydney was like, if we all recorded that and, like, put it out there, like, we could have just recorded that entire conversation and put it out there. A podcast would basically be just all of us sitting around talking about our lives like we would every day anyway. So we were all kind of looking at each other and we were like, you're onto something. We all credit her with the name because we all cry in public all of the time.
So I've listened to your episodes a bunch, and I think you guys are all so funny. And what I love about the podcast, like you just said, with the whole crying in public idea, so many people are so afraid to be vulnerable and they're so afraid to show their emotions. I'm one of them. We're all guilty of doing it at some point or another. Like, we have our moments. But what I love that you guys talk about the most is that you guys are so open about feeling that way, and that it's okay to, you know, cry over that guy that broke your heart, cry over that job not working out the way you wanted it to. And I think what people don't understand a lot, and this doesn't even have to go with podcasting, this is just life in general, like, crying is okay. If you don't want to cry in front of someone, that's not a big deal. But as long as, like, you're doing it for yourself and you're kind of letting it all out, that is doing so much more than just, like, bottling it all in, because then you're going to explode.
Exactly. And I also think a lot of where we took this, like, in the direction that we took this when we first started, was, like, women are so known right now unfairly for being over emotional and, like, dramatic and stuff like that. So the whole premise of the podcast, when you get to really get down to its core, is that women can be emotional, dramatic, so can men, so can everybody, and that is absolutely okay. Then we started, like, breaking down those stereotypes. So now our whole shtick is, like, women can be sexy and talk about sex and just, like, be hilarious and funny and, like, goofy and silly, whatever, and, like, really shallow sometimes. Like, talk about makeup and fashion, like, whatever you're interested in. Like, we can have these, like, what are considered to be more feminine, girly, you know, habits, which is totally okay. And then we can also be this idea of, like, graceful and professional, and we want to have careers, and, like, it's okay. Like, our whole thing when we were starting the podcast, we were like, what are our future employers going to say when they hear us talking about taking it up the butt? Like, what is going to happen?
That is my thoughts all the time. I, like, curse up the wazoo. I am literally a sailor mouth, like, trapped in, like, this goody two shoes looking, like, I wouldn't call myself a goody two shoes, but you know what I'm saying? Like, what comes across as, like, an innocent type girl that wouldn't even dare to say fuck. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, when you talk about a podcast and you have a podcast, you make it for what you want to do. You want it to be as relatable as possible. And I think you were touching on this before, being interactive. Like, you can't just go and spew stories just because, like, you want to talk about stories. You have to talk about ones that are relatable. Yeah, you can be entertaining with it, but when it comes down to the core of it, like you said, you also have to be able to be like, it's okay that you feel like this or that you want to talk about this.
Yeah, and that's even the premise of, like, Sex and the City, even, like, going back to that show, because if you haven't watched it, you need to go watch it, especially if you live in New York City and you're a woman in your 20s, for sure. Women of any age, honestly. And the thing with Sex and the City is, like, what they did, Carrie's not relatable down to her core. Like, she has this job at Vogue. No one has a job at Vogue. Miranda is this lawyer making millions. Barely anyone is doing that. Like, Samantha, she has this mansion in Hollywood with her young boyfriend, Smith. You know, like, barely anybody has those extravagant professions and extravagant lives. But at the same time, like, they also cry and eat cake in their bathroom on the bedroom floor and like watch people have sex through the windows of their sixth floor New York City walk up. That's what makes it relatable. So, like, that's our whole premise of the podcast. We want to make sure that we're being like these role models for a lot of our audience, because a lot of our audience is young girls. We want to make sure that we are being professional and as graceful as possible, just because that's who we are. But at the same time, we like talking about sex and boys and stuff like that, because we all have like specific roles in the podcast and they're very subtle, obviously. But like, even in real life, like, I could never imagine anybody being any different than they actually are. It would be great to have like a switch day. We always talk about that. Like, a fun idea for the YouTube would be to like change styles for a day. Like, someone would be the girly one, which I am. Like, I'm very like flouncy with ruffles and stuff, and Sophia is very bohemian, so like we could switch styles for a day. But it goes so much deeper than that, you know. Like, I couldn't ask for a better group of girls to hang out with, flaws and all.
Oh, I love that. That's a lot more girl power than people seem. And I love that you are so embracing of all the different type of styles and edges that you guys do bring to the podcast.
Thank you. Because when we first met, even, I remember looking at all of us and being like, what an interesting group of girls we have here. You know, because I think a lot of it is like, we're all so headstrong and opinionated, all type A, and our personalities are all so different, but we get along so well, which usually isn't the case. Like, we're all extroverted. We're all super loud, super talkative, which makes it a little obvious because like we all have some common ground when it comes to that. But we're all so different in our interests. And I think that's what makes us interesting. You know, we all have different majors and personalities. Like, it's really great. A lot about like what our message is. We can be really, really loud and really obnoxious and talky, but also at the same time, we know how to like settle down and we know how to like truly embrace ourselves as women.
And I think another thing, like you said, because you all are similar in the aspect of being extroverted, loud, fun, outgoing, everything like that. Some people look at that as competition, and you guys don't, because you're able to kind of, you know, sort out your differences, your interests, your dislikes, your likes. Because if you look at something and any girl in any situation as competition, you're creating that in your head. Like, that doesn't mean that there's something there. So when you appreciate what's around you and the different and the ability of being like, okay, like, even though we are similar in this aspect, we are completely different. And I love that you guys kind of like level each other out because of those things.
Thank you. Even with men especially, we all have a lot of overlapping guys in our friend group and like other like friends that we hang out with, obviously, like anyone does. But like, when there's a party and like a big group of people, especially pre-pandemic, we would see guys and like we just look at each other and be like, okay, you take that one, I'll take this one. You know, like, we like break off kind of, and we all like navigating like what our types were. It's really funny.
I love that. And I love that you guys are all in college. So you really are going through it and getting through it together, which is all what I like to say Jappy Jaws is about. But there is a special segment that I do love doing on my podcast, which is the college series. So I absolutely love talking about college. I love talking about my experience, how it was kind of unique and not really like the traditional route of going. And I love hearing about what other people have gone through. So I wanted to ask Sarah a few questions about her experience thus far, because she is only a junior, so she does have some time left in college, which I'm jealous about, because sometimes I'm like, damn, I wish I was in college, but I don't wish I was in college right now with everything going on. Right. I think it's interesting seeing how other people now have been adjusting to it and how they've kind of navigated. So I guess my first question is, how has it been making friends pre-pandemic and during? Because even though junior year, you kind of have your set friend group, you kind of really don't meet new many people, but you also are in the city, so you are constantly surrounded by people. So how has that kind of been for you, and making friends from the start to now, and how you want to move forward with it?
Making friends from the start was easier than I thought it would be, especially after like what we were talking about earlier, my freak out moment with reading stuff and researching online and what NYU is actually like. But I got there and immediately I made friends with my roommates, just because I'm just that kind of person. Like, obviously you have to make friends with the people you live with. I would 100% suggest, like, if you're thinking about, or like if you're about to go into college, dorm. Like, why would you not? Especially in New York City. Like, I know a lot of girls even who DM me now asking for advice. They're like, I'm about to be a freshman and like I'm just gonna get an apartment off campus. And I was like, okay, like, great if that works for you. But I was like, why? Oh my God. Like, if you have the option to dorm, I would 100% suggest that, just because those are like literally 2 to 3 default friends right there. Six, if you share an apartment with like a lot of people. Like, that's like my number one advice, is just basically like, try to make friends with your roommates. Number two, like, it is so hard during the pandemic. You're so right, because the only way I would make friends pre-pandemic was I would just say yes to everything. Mm-hmm. There was not a single invitation that I declined, whether it was to like a frat party, an event, even something that didn't even seem that interesting to me at the time, like getting nails done even. Woman, like a comedy show, jazz club. Like I would just say yes to literally everything.
The Yes Woman.
Yes. Even when like men were involved, like I was just kind of like, yeah, like I'll go out with you. Like, let's try it out. You know, like you never know. There's no harm in just like trying it out. I just try everything. That would be like my advice. But also since the pandemic, this is like my most asked question is like, how do I make friends? How do I make friends? And I know like Bumble just released, this is like kind of off topic, but Bumble just released this app called like Bumble BFF.
Yes. Okay. I'm so glad you brought that up. My best friend from college, she moved to Hawaii for a job. She's literally living the life. I'm so jealous of her. That's awesome. Obviously like Hawaii is very far from where we are right now. She knew no one going there. She went on Bumble BFF and that is how she made like her friend group down there. She's met like the most amazing, interesting people from that app because not only are you just meeting people from there, but you're meeting their circle of people that they've already known. And I think that's a beautiful thing because like you said, when you're older, it is so much harder making friends. And you going into New York City, not knowing many people, like I'm sure that was beyond intimidating.
Oh, for sure. And even now it's so intimidating. Like when I have to reach out to someone to do a project in class, hey, you seem interesting and you seem like you like the same things I do. So do you want to work on this project together for this like one topic randomly? Like that's even hard, but like everyone wants to find new ways to meet people. But like the way I like to look at it is just adjust what you're doing now. Like if you're on Zoom and like you see this girl who like you think looks familiar, like you think you had her in one of your classes before, just like private DM her and be like, hey, here's my number in case you any have any questions on the homework. It's just stuff like that. Like just taking that first step and adjusting to your situation presently, because a lot of people can't change their situation. They can't go out to more parties. They can't be more proactive because they're like quarantining or they're at home or like they don't feel comfortable, things like that. It makes it 10 times harder. But I think with resources like Zoom DM, for example, or Bumble BFF, or literally dating apps, like even making guy friends on dating apps, it's like the best thing that could have ever happened. Like the internet is such an amazing world that is truly making us adjust to our current situation, which is awesome.
Because you come across very confident. And for you, it's easy to kind of, you know, break out of that shell and be able to DM that person, be like, hey, like, here's my number. I think we should work on this project, blah, blah, blah. There are some people that aren't able to do that. And I know a lot of the girls that listen to my podcast are going into college and they don't really know how to do that because you've been going to school with people 18 years of your life. You only know that group of people. It's hard to kind of branch out when you don't know many others. Like you could stick with your roommate, but that doesn't mean your roommate and you are going to have classes together 110% of the time. So what is your biggest advice to someone to kind of, you know, get out of that shell and be like, okay, I gotta like grow a set of balls and decide like, okay, I'm gonna DM this person and be like, hey, saw you were in my class. Like, I think we could work well on a project together. Oh, we should get coffee sometime and like hang out.
My biggest thing ever, and I don't even mean to sound, oh my God, I'm all that, but just self-love in general, especially in social situations and when you get like social anxiety and stuff like that, it helps so much to like truly just be like, I have something to bring to the table here. I'm smart. This girl looks smart. Let's work together on this project. Know your strengths. Like, I think I'm funny. This girl seems funny. Let me go up to her. Like, just find common ground, I think is like the number one advice I have. Like, know that you have something to bring to the table. Know that you're awesome. And like, know that this person, unless you know, like you just genuinely won't get along, know that this person just might want to be friends with you. You know what I mean? Regarding social anxiety, because that's a huge thing. Like, when I first got to New York City, I did not know what to do. When I went, I would literally stand in the corner and like find a glass of champagne somewhere. But like, I think the biggest thing that I could ever suggest is like, number one, get there early. It helps so much. Like whether it's Zoom class, literally like Zoom class, or like whether it's your work, like clock in like 5 minutes early, just because it's, I've always found it easier to embrace what's coming rather than like get there late because I'm so stressed and then be super overwhelmed with everything. Like that's just the thing that helped me the most literally ever. And then there are also breathing techniques, which is more technical. And I think the last thing I have to say about this is like two things. Act like you're talking to your best friend who you've known for millions of years. That helps me so much. Like even with you, like us coming together here, this is the first time we're e-meeting. It's awesome. So nice, so kind, so funny. Thanks. Like just someone I'd love to get along with. Like let's just pretend we've known each other for years. You just said that too. Like as soon as we got on, it helps so much. And then also, if you have friends back at home, so like if you're going to college, a state away or across the country, like if you have to get on a plane, or even if you're just going to a college where you're meeting new people, which everyone does.
Absolutely.
Have a friend group back at home that you can like text your mom, like talk to your dog on the phone. You know what I mean? Like just have a solid base that you know that you can come back to and know like no matter what. I already have people from high school or my parents or my siblings who are going to support me.
Yeah, you always love having the people rooting for you. And also in situations where it's like, okay, this isn't working out the way I wanted to and you don't know what to do, you want that biased opinion. You want to go to your mom. You want to go to your best friend from high school. You want to be able to talk to those people because not only are they going to kind of like bring you back down to earth, they don't know the people like you know them. They only know what you're talking about with them. So it's kind of like an easier way of seeing a different perspective and kind of understanding it in a better light because they weren't there. They're not in that same position that you and the other person are. So when you kind of need that extra push or like that question of what do I do from here, you have those people that are your home base and you can grow with. And they'll tell you, listen, you got to do this. You were wrong. You were right. This is how you should approach it going forward.
Exactly. And even like if you're in like another friend group or like three friend groups or like even like with your boyfriend who's like long distance or your girlfriend, like whatever, I think the main thing that I always say is like just get an objective bird's eye view of the situation, just completely unbiased, but like don't shit talk your friends to your other friend. That is literally the worst thing you could possibly do. And for example, I have a huge mouth. I sometimes have to like monitor who I say things to.
Oh yeah, I could
sometimes
really...
I say things and it just comes off the wrong way and then I'm like, oh my God, shit, why did I just say that? I didn't even mean that. Like, I just said that out of anger. You say something to the wrong person, like, it could get back to you. Someone's feelings could get hurt. Just, like, don't do it, you know?
And the last thing I want to talk about with the college series with you, and I think we kind of, like, briefly touched on it a little bit beforehand, is dating, and especially in the city. 2 weeks ago when I had Hope Spinner on, who also goes to school in New York City, she was kind of giving me the lowdown of everything, but I kind of want your perspective of what it's like dating in New York City. As much as we don't want it to, dating is just such a huge part of your adult life. The moment you turn 18, I think the question of like, oh, do you have a boyfriend? Do you have a girlfriend? Becomes so much more prominent in your life because everybody just like loves the safety and security of being with someone. You have to be realistic. And I think dating in the city, because how many people are in New York City? You can't even count. You see someone new every single day. So dating in a city as opposed to like your hometown or in like a campus setting is so different. I kind of want like your rundown of the land of what it's been like for you.
Of course. And first of all, no one should be fooled because as big as New York City is, it will always be the day when you look a mess in your sweatpants with no makeup and your hair is like a literal greasy mess and you walk out of your apartment and like, boom, there's your ex-boyfriend. You know, like it will always happen. Or like that one girl like you just don't want to see today. You know, like it's always in like the most unexpected moments. Hence, that's when you cry in public. Pre-pandemic, like my analysis of the dating scene was clubs are just not it. Like unless you want like a hookup, like a nightly hookup, clubs are definitely like the way to go. But like bars and restaurants and intimate like parties, like kickbacks are mostly where you can find dating material. But like frat parties and clubs,
not
that's a place to find friends. It's not really a play. Like Troy, who's jumping on the pong table and like breaking it in half, like that's maybe not like where you want to go with that for sure. But now that the pandemic's here, it is all about the dating apps. Like my single friends have 6 dating apps each and they're just like constantly jumping. Oh yeah, oh my God, there's this new dating app called Iris. Yeah, it's crazy. My friends are all like Hinge, Tinder, Bumble, Iris. Like there are so many, like you could literally say like a random word, it could sound like a new dating app.
Dating in the city, do you love it? Do you hate it? What is your final opinion on it?
So I hated it when I was still like actively single. Like I literally hated it, but I also loved it. Like it was literally my favorite thing. And I know that's probably like the most like 50-50 answer, but like I loved it in the sense where I always had something interesting to tell my roommates. And like, I'm just always looking for something exciting to do. I'm always looking for the next big story. Like I'm a storyteller. I love when crazy things happen to me because I love telling my mom, like calling my dad, like just like being like, you'll never believe what this guy said. You know what I mean? It's fun and it's great. It always gave me something to do on a Friday night when I didn't have anything else to do.
Exactly.
And also in the end, like I either came out with a story, a really good friend, or like something to do later. You know, I could have a sleepover, you know? So it was all really great. And I never really wanted to be in a serious relationship ever. Like the fact that I'm in one right now is like crazy.
I was about to ask you, are you in a relationship?
Yes, I do have a boyfriend and he does not live in New York City for a reason. Before, I literally was like, I never wanted a boyfriend. And like, that's where my mind was in New York City. Like I was out doing all of these things, never looking to settle down. Like I was literally a crazy person running around trying to find.
You were putting yourself first. You were prioritizing yourself.
Exactly. So dating in New York City was fun, but at the same time, and the reason why I said no is because I feel like a lot of men in New York City are really, really bad. Like, I don't know why. They all have like such a weird complex. There are so many times when I'd go out with a guy and he'd be like, yeah, I'm starting this new mattress company. And like, he wouldn't stop talking about it. And I'm like, what are you even talking about right now? Like, it's a lot of small business owners, a lot of promoters, a lot of like SoundCloud rappers.
Yeah.
It's a lot of weird people. But at the same time, dating apps is where I met like so many of my friends, you know?
That is like a very mature answer too, because some people will literally be like a serial dater and they'll go out on all these dates, and don't get me wrong, like get a free meal, get a free drink, I'm not against that, but people are like, oh, he was all right, blah, blah, blah. When you can also give someone else that chance of like having another date or like hanging out with a group of friends, you also realize like not only what you want and what you don't want, but like if you want that person in your life just in a different reason. I think that's a really mature way of thinking.
Thank you, that's really nice of you to say. say, because I sure didn't feel mature, like going out and like being on all these dating apps and like just wanting one thing out of it, you know? Oh my God, the free meal thing. Some girls seriously like milk men for all they're worth. I feel so bad sometimes. I'm like, oh my God, you really let him buy you a 5-course Italian gourmet Michelin star meal and like what you ghosted him after the first date. I feel so bad sometimes. And it's the same way around with like men, because it's like, I hate when, just likewise, I hate when you go out on a date, especially with guys in New York City. And this is part of the complex that I'm talking about. It's the first, if not the main aspect of this complex. It's like you go out to a really nice restaurant, not even your suggestion. They order for you, order of these drinks. And then they're like 100% without a doubt expecting you to sleep with them. And if you say no, they like genuinely get mad. And they're like, what? Why not? And you're like, because
you're not impressing me.
Like, yeah, literally. I save the fancy restaurants for my mom and my friends because we can like all split the check equally. Like, I never want to make anyone feel like they have to pamper me, because that's just
exactly
stuff I need to do on my own time.
How I like to close my episodes is with a post-grad doozy, but I want to do a little something different with you, considering you are the NYC guru. So I do want your little food for thought. So your post-grad, ingrad advice of life and in general, a little food for thought. But I also want you to give like your top 3 must-dos in New York City, because there are people that have never even been there. We had to ask the NYC guru herself.
My top 3 things, the first is gonna be food, because duh. I would say, like, if you like sushi, New York City has the best sushi places, whether it's Domo Domo, Kotobuki, Sushi Bar. Like, just find your sushi restaurant and make it your regular. In New York City, you are rewarded for loyalty. If you go to the same restaurant that you love so often, like, you'll start to get some special treatment. You'll start to get some free stuff. You'll get VIP status. And seriously, like, there's no better thing. Loyalty is everything. So that's my number 1. And number 2, I would suggest like the best tourist spots. Just because you like visit New York City more than 3 times or you live there over a year, and I always say this on my TikTok, it doesn't mean that you're too good to be touristy. I'm still touristy and I've lived there for years now. So it's like, go to the High Line. Definitely go to Top of the Rock over Empire State. The Edge, you can get a champagne package. Top of the Rock, you can see the Empire State Building from your view, you know? Definitely don't be afraid to be touristy, like the High Line, Ellis Island. Like, do it all. You're not too cool for it. Post it all over your story. Like, everyone loves it. And the third thing I would say, especially for people like who want to move to New York City specifically, or just thinking of moving there sometime in their life, make sure you find a really good group of friends who are like morally and personality wise compatible with you, because it's very easy to get invested in the wrong people and get like messed up and all of that. And like, it's very easy to lose yourself in a city as nostalgic and as big and in your face as New York City. And even when you go visit and you want to link up with someone who you like found on Instagram or stuff, just make sure that like they're the type of people you want to be friends with to your core. And I know like that, I guess, wasn't like a places to go or like things to do, but it's just absolutely an necessity. And like,
I think that was more of a New York City like to do and a more of like a what you should know, which I kind of liked a little bit better, I'm not gonna lie. So I appreciate you doing that over telling me where to go.
Thank you so much, I appreciate it.
And then what is your little food for thought that you would like to leave people with, some life advice, if you will?
My life advice that I always like, for sure, I as soon as you said food for thought, this immediately came to my mind. The song / saying La Vie en Rose is how I live my life. So if you don't know what that's the translation is, it's French. It's La Vie en Rose means life in pink. I always went through life as kind of like an optimist and just like kind of very like fantasy, very like everything's gonna go my way. And you were right, like that cultural shock of college just like completely changed that for me for the better, of course, because it makes you stronger. But I would say like always remember to view life as like life in pink, like always find those people who make you see life in this really good way. So you have to make sure to ground yourself and understand that like it's not all about you, and it's so give and take life in general, not just like people, which is like obviously the same goes for relationships and friendships and things like that. But like life is not always going to go your way, and the sooner you learn how to, number one, find the silver linings, and number two, deal with it in a way that like can make you stronger, the sooner you will be just a happier person in general, for sure.
I love that. Look through things as the glass half full, not half empty almost.
For sure. So if you are optimist, like keep your optimistic belief. Everybody should be an optimist in some point, you know? So if that is kind of like your viewpoint, that's amazing. It's not your failures that define you, it's how you overcome them. And I think that like that is like the one thing that I've learned, especially living in a place as brutal sometimes as New York City.
I love that. Preach it, girlfriend. This has been so much fun. But before you go, I want you to drop everything that you are on, including stuff for crying in public. Tell people where they could follow you and find you.
For sure. So my Instagram is sarah.hodgson, spelled sarah.hodgson. My TikTok is the exact same thing without the dot. So just Sarah Hodgson. Go follow me on there. That's like my main platform. platform. I also have a YouTube, so just look up my name and you'll find it. It's Sarah Hodgson again. And make sure to go follow our podcast called Crying in Public. It's on Spotify, iHeart, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And that's about it.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming on. It has literally been so much fun talking to you. And hopefully once pandemic stuff calms down, I will be able to take up a lot of your New York City advice and maybe we'll be able to go, you know, catch a drink or something.
For sure. Thank you so much for having me on here.
No, of course.
Now, is she not Carrie Bradshaw 2.0 or not? Seriously, Sarah was such a gem. Thank you again to her for coming on and chatting with me. It was literally so insightful and I felt so empowered afterwards because she just holds herself so well and she has just this great presence about her, and when she talks about things she's just super passionate and it definitely radiates onto other people. I hope you all enjoyed that. There's so much more coming in the next few weeks you guys are not even ready for. I am so excited. But before you go and take off for the weekend and enjoy and take on New York City the way Sarah has, make sure you are following Jappy Jaws on Instagram at JappyJaws, as well as my personal at Lindsay Anya, LindsayYyanya. Follow me on Twitter and TikTok. It is the same thing as my personal Instagram. And make sure you're liking, subscribing, following, reviewing, and rating Jappy Jaws on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Anchor, and anywhere else that you are listening. Thank you all so much again for your support. But until then, enjoy your weekend, and I will see you all next Thursday.